The Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden has rocketed into the forefront of Washington's museum scene. Yayoi Kusama's Infinity Mirrors exhibition at the museum created long lines outside while those inside posted their experiences on social media. Melissa Chu, the director of the museum, may be responsible for the museum's recent popularity. She took the helm 2.5 years ago, and she joins me now to talk about the state of the space and where she hopes to take it next. Welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Kojo. Good to be here.
When your curatorial staff selects artists for the museum, what are you looking for? Are there any trends or characteristics that you're seeking? Is there a certain tone you're seeking to establish?
So at the Hirshhorn, we're the National Museum of Modern Art, and our focus is 21st century. And when we're looking to select an artist for an exhibition of the scale of the Kusama Show, we're looking at a number of qualities. One might be how the artist speaks of this particular time that we live in, what the relevance of the work is, or perhaps even a rereading of the work. As with Kusama, it was a rereading of her importance in the 20th and 21st century, since she was making those infinity mirror rooms as early as 1965. So it's a little bit about also thinking about art history, and do we need to think about the 20th century in a different way, refracted through the 21st century that we live in today.
Talk a little bit about the upcoming exhibit, the Ai Weiwei exhibit, sure. And how it reflects that.
So the Ai Weiwei exhibition opens next week. It's an exhibition that's very much a project. He created a work specifically designed for Alcatraz a few years ago, and they're portraits of 176 prisoners of political conscience, that is, those people who have been imprisoned for their beliefs. And Ai Weiwei looked to Amnesty International for the selection of those individuals. And then he created portraits of them from Lego. So those portraits fill the museum, along with a new project where he's covered the entire perimeter wall of 700 feet with a new design. And so thinking of Ai Weiwei's place in the world, in the art world in particular, he is really one of the foremost artists today. And he has something, I think, very important to say about freedom of expression, creative expression, all of these sorts of things.
This was commissioned in 2014, and when I envision it, this would take every second of my time in the period from then to now to complete it. But are artists becoming more political, or are museums becoming more political? This exhibit is explicitly political.
Well, here's the thing. This was a work created for Alcatraz. It was actually created at a moment when Ai Weiwei couldn't travel. He, in fact, never saw the work. So when he comes to DC next week, it's the first time he'll see the exhibition. In terms of a sense of politic, I think it would be true to say that Ai Weiwei has always, from the very beginning of his work in the 1970s, had a sense of politic about him and his work. He's been called something of an agent provocateur on many levels. And if we take the pulse of where artists are today, you might say that what we are seeing is a new kind of emergence of a sense of politic. And I use that in the broadest possible term. It's not so much about what's even going on here in the White House or wherever. It's actually a new, renewed sense of having something to say about the world we live in today. And I would actually even liken it to what we saw happen in the early 1990s around a sense of identity politics. And so we're seeing a bit of a kind of resurgence of that period.
And you're talking about this as a, not a national phenomenon, but as a worldwide phenomenon.
Yes, absolutely.
800-433-8850 is the number to call if you'd like to join the conversations. What role do you think museums play in our day-to-day lives in Washington? Do you see Smithsonian museums as national or local venues? How do you feel about politics being expressed in art? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Send us a tweet at Kojo Show. You can go to our website, kojoshow.org. Join the conversation there. We're talking with Melissa Chu. She is director of the Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden. September will be 3 years since you've been at the helm of the Hirshhorn. What do you feel have been your most significant accomplishments so far?
Well, I think the outside view would certainly be the Kusama exhibition, because that's been such an obvious kind of cultural phenomenon here in Washington City. But I would say I'm probably most proud of this idea of putting the Hirshhorn at the center of a conversation on contemporary art, and that is it's relevant here to Washington, but it's also relevant nationally and internationally.
Glad you mentioned that, because we used to see New York and Paris and maybe London as maybe the pinnacles of contemporary art. Has that changed? Where does Washington, D.C. now fit into that conversation?
I do think it's changed. There was a time when if you wanted to make it as an artist, you had to go to Paris or New York. And I think that now the art world is everywhere. It's all around the world. There are many art capitals. And I think that now we no longer have that kind of central axis. And I think where Washington fits is that it is really the national capital. And so we benefit here from all of those national museums. I always describe it as a great museum city. It's kind of, it probably has more museums per capita than most other cities. And guess what? They're all free. It's kind of this amazing kind of offering of collections and access here in Washington, I think.
You can go to our website, kojoshow.org, for a gallery of images of upcoming exhibits at the Hirshhorn. That's our website, kojoshow.org. You can also ask a question or make a comment there. You can do that by calling 800-433-8850. Also, you were the target of some criticism early in your tenure after holding a fundraiser for the museum in New York City instead of in Washington, D.C. You visited with us after that and really explained that. But you said then that it made sense to go to New York as it was the center of the contemporary art world. Having mentioned just how many museums there are here and how they are free, do you think Washington is raising its status to match or compare those in New York or Paris or London?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of issues there. I think that as the National Museum of Modern Art, I think that we have an imprimatur to raise funds from across this country for our museum. And that's what the New York Gala was about. We've had a gala here in D.C. a couple of times as well. Celebrating D.C. artists, exactly. So, you know, for us, you know, we're not exclusive about where we raise our funds from, that basically, we want to do great shows and great programs that are accessible to all. And I think where D.C. fits is that it's this national capital, and so we benefit from having amazing collections in this city and a growing kind of philanthropic support base for those activities.
You may have answered this in part already, but how do you incorporate the Hirshhorn's identity as a national or international attraction with the needs and desires of a local clientele?
Yeah, so I mean, I think most museums have this issue, which is, you know, you have many communities that you serve. And at the Hirshhorn, we have our Washington community, but we also have a national community and an international community that we reach out to. I think that the visitors who live here in Washington benefit most from the programs that we have, whether it's the Yoko Ono project that we have going on now, or the public talk that we have with Ai Weiwei next week. So I think that, you know, it's always a balancing act, and we reach different audiences in different ways.
Glad you mentioned the Yoko Ono project, because can you tell our listeners what that's all about? It's really kind of two projects, isn't it?
Actually, it's four.
It's four.
It's four projects for Washington, but we launched two of them last Saturday, and the project that we have going on at the Hirshhorn Lobby is called My Mummy is Beautiful, and Yoko Ono invites visitors to write their memories and thoughts of their mothers and actually put them up on the wall. And so this is an exhibition that a work that only exists with one's participation. And then there's the Wish Tree in our sculpture garden that celebrates the 10th anniversary of this. And every summer we open up the wish tree itself, and people are able to add their wishes to the tree over the course of the season. And so it's very much in this line of visitors participating in the actual creation of an artwork.
Put your headphones on, please, because we're about to go to the phones.
Sure.
Where Cole in Silver Spring, Maryland awaits us. Cole, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Kodjo?
Good.
Just want to respond to your statement regarding politics and art.
Yep.
At the Phillips Collection, I checked out the Jacob Lawrence Negro Great Migration series, and I noticed a few of the panels, one in particular, showed a sort of a white and black section of a restaurant sort of cordoned off by a rope. So clearly that was some speaking to the political climate at the time. So, you know, that's what your sort of statement regarding politics and art sort of brought to mind for me.
You know, I had the privilege of interviewing Mr. Lawrence before he passed at the Phillips, and he made that very point, that the artist reflects the world in which he or she lives, and if that world happens to include politics, then that's simply a part of what an artist does. Care to comment on that, Melissa Chu?
Yeah, well, thanks, Cole, for your comment. I think that sometimes artists are being political in their work, and then sometimes they're not. And sometimes even by reflecting the world around them, it becomes more political, especially with hindsight. So I think that, you know, I'm glad that you've highlighted this very important work, and it's amazing that it's here in Washington in a great collection like the Phillips.
The Kusama exhibition brought in over 160,000 people. You planned for this a year in advance, yet many people were upset that they couldn't get in. What are some of the ways you can ensure that people can see your exhibits?
Yeah, so we planned for a long time to be able to have as many visitors as we could possibly fit in the museum. This was a real case of demand exceeding the possibilities of our building, and we were very happy. Actually, nearly 500,000 people visited the overall museum above and beyond the exhibition. I think that access is primary for us. We made a number of decisions when we realized the kind of demand for wanting to see the exhibition. We opened late on a number of occasions, we extended hours, all of these sorts of things. So I think it's a real challenge, especially for our building was, you know, built over 40 years ago. We never thought we would be welcoming so many people. And I have to say, a former Hirshhorn staff member came to visit and they said, we never thought we would see the day when there would be a line outside the Hirshhorn to get in. So we were planning, but obviously there are certain physical limitations to the building.
And there are people who would like that there be more local residents who get access to major exhibits. Does Jacob in Washington, D.C., Jacob, do I speak for you or... Oh, go ahead, speak for yourself.
Well, certainly, and I appreciate the opportunity to comment. The Hirshhorn is certainly my favorite place to visit down on the Mall, and I wasn't anticipating the last part of the conversation, but was wondering if this is something that's going to be long-standing, more and more popularity at the Hirshhorn, if there's some sort of a commitment that can be made to Washingtonians who have cherished it as a place to see wonderful art for so many years.
Legacy admissions, but go ahead, please, Melissa.
Here's the thing. I think the Kusama show was really exceptional for us. I think we're open 7 days a week, all the time. It's free. It is really accessible. It was just the limitations of that particular exhibition given the infinity rooms. And I would invite all of you here in Washington to come visit. It's you know, that we have some great shows on at the moment. And, you know, the Kusama show was really an exception.
There are people, of course, who would like to make sure that if there are Washingtonians, that Washingtonians at all levels get access to this kind of exhibit. What would you say are the biggest factors hindering people's access to art and the art world, people whom we would like to be more exposed to art?
You know, I think that the barriers here in Washington are actually fewer than in other cities. I think that the fact that most of the major museums here in the city are free, usually price is a factor. If you go to other cities, there's a charge for admission. So I think that that's a very positive thing about this city. I think that, you know, for us, accessibility is key. And what we're actually focusing on is also a number of things that make the visitor experience at the Hirshhorn even more you know, engaging with in terms of contemporary art. We're installing a cafe in the lobby very shortly. We're looking carefully at, we've built up a whole visitor gallery guide system for the Kusama show. We recruited over 100 new gallery guides and visitor services people to help with people being able to engage with the art. So we're making those kinds of efforts at the Hirshhorn. But I would say that accessibility is a big piece of what we do at the Hirshhorn and also across the Smithsonian.
Back to the telephones. Now, here is Melvin in Washington. Melvin, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
All right. Good afternoon. I'm just delighted to see this matter of the art for social and political change being exhibited so extensively at our National Museum of Modern Art. It's really important. Locally here, there is the Charles Krauss Reporting Fine Art Gallery, which also is dedicated exclusively to the art of social and political change. So this is very welcome. It's important to have this, the nature of this work be considered in the canon of modern art globally, both certainly here in the United States and globally. The other thing is that our group, Millennium Art Salon, here locally in Washington, we visited Ai Weiwei's studio in Shanghai in 2012. So we are delighted that he is coming here, and we welcome him. We're going to be attending the lecture next week, and we couldn't be happier. So thank you very much for this, Ms. Chu, and welcome to Washington. It's 3 years later, but welcome.
Thank you, Melvin.
Thank you very much for your call, Melvin. We're talking with Melissa Chu. She is the director of the Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden. We got an email or, no, we got, this is a tweet. We got from someone who says, what is Melissa's wish for the museum? Did she hang that on Yoko's wish tree? Props to her for turning around the museum. A-plus is the grade you were given by this tweeter.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. I don't think I ever got an A-plus at school, so I'm making up for it now, maybe. Thank you. I think that what we're interested in at the Hirshhorn is to be thinking about the museum as really leading the field. And I think that we're located in Washington, we're the National Museum of Modern Art, and yet we're probably not the largest museum of modern art by any account. So we're thinking about what it means to lead the field and also thinking about the scale. I think that we're at an advantage in being smaller scale to our peers. And in a 21st century, it's like smaller operations that are able to be more agile and forward thinking. And so that's the kind of space that we're kind of looking at filling.
Speaking of space, what are the biggest challenges faced by museums and art institutions right now?
That's an interesting question. I think that on the one hand, we're at this very important moment where contemporary art is so much more accessible and popular than ever before. So many more people are interested in what we do. On the other hand, I think that there are so many more museums doing contemporary art, which is what our mission is. And so we're thinking very carefully about what kind of contribution we can make. So we're thinking about historically 20th century, who are those artists who are undiscovered? We're thinking of 21st century, what new forms of art are artists making, mostly in the form of technology and things like that. So it's at this very important moment where I think probably the greatest challenge for the Hirshhorn is how do we keep ahead of the field? How do we start to kind of map out our own personality in the mix of what are many museums of modern and contemporary art today?
The biggest challenge for the rest of us is how do we keep you here for a very long time?
Melissa I'm very Chu. Happy here. Thank you, Coach.
Melissa Chu is director of the Hirshhorn Museum and Sculpture Garden. Thank you so much for joining us. As we said earlier, you can go to our website, kojoshow.org, and you can see what the exhibits at the museum currently are. That's it for the show today, but there's always more happening online. Check us out on Facebook, and you can like us there. We stream every Friday's Politics Hour directly to Facebook Live, where we also field questions for all of our guests and for our resident analyst, Tom Sherwood. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, too, and don't forget to meet us back here tomorrow at noon. We'll meet Andrew Gifford, a man who lived in the middle of the rise and fall of an iconic local ice cream business in this region, and a man who's now sharing a personal story about family, abuse, and mental illness. That's all tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Kojo Namdi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Ingelisa Schroepsdorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Avery Kleiman, and Patrick Fort. The engineer is Meg Bunting. Cliff Gallagher has been on the phones. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.